אנחנו שמחים שוב לראות אתכם כאן בבית קבלה לעם יום שישי בבוקר.
Hi everybody, we're happy to see you here. First of all, I want to say that during the week, during the Hanukkah holiday, lessons are as usual. You're invited to come. You can tell everyone who are not here today also that lessons are as usual. And Hanukkah is actually a very good reason to keep studying. So, that's first thing. Second thing, yes, exactly. I'm asking everyone to please turn off your cellular phones, make sure that they're completely turned off. If someone wants to ask a question, please just remember that people are watching us through the internet, through TV, we use materials for video clips and so on. So, just put the microphone close to your mouth so everyone will hear your question loud and clear, and this way everyone will benefit. So, last thing, campus, the new course campus, starts right after Hanukkah holiday. It's a 3-year course. You can also register for only one semester, and it'll start in Sunday's evening. It'll be on Sunday's evening. It's a structured course for the wisdom of Kabbalah from A to Z. In the end of the course, you will know how to read the Zohar, you will know how to look at the wisdom of Kabbalah correctly. So you're still invited to register. Shulamit stands so people can see you. She's in charge of the registration, so you can go to her and register right near the book stand, and besides that, have a pleasant lecture. What, you want to learn perception of reality? That's a whole topic. It's not just an article. Page 225. Okay, I'm checking. Just a second. We are studying this on Fridays, no? Hey, can you help me with this? If you can bring me my other glasses, I don't see well with these. So we're going to read the whole article. Okay, so I need a better glasses. If it was just to read a bit and then talk about it, so it's a different thing. Yes, who wants to ask something? What? Something happened? Yes, please. If I can ask, what is the difference between matter and from dressed in matter at work? What is the difference between matter and form dressed in matter in the work? That's nicely asked question. So matter is the will to receive. The form within matter can be corporal. What am I going to receive? I can never want something that doesn't exist in reality. All in all, the will to receive is brought about as a point of existence from absence. And it is formless. Later, the light comes to it, and in a process of four phases of direct light, it gives the will to receive all kinds of forms, what to want, what kind of pleasures exist. And by forms, by different forms of pleasures, it's not forms like I'm exemplifying with my hands, but we don't have a ways of explaining that. It's forms of expression, forms of force. And it lets the matter understand that there are different types of joy, of pleasure. And then the light imprints those forms within matter. It is like... what glasses did you bring me?
No.
Okay, I'll stay with mine. It's written that the creature was created by light, the light of Torah. The light of Torah created the world. The light of Torah means the general light that contains 613 lights. It is called 613 lights of Torah. And these 613 lights of Torah imprinted in matter gave matter 613 forms. What's the sound? Just disconnect all the other sounds besides me, and then you can see if the feedback comes from me or from the other microphones. So in short, the will to receive received 613 forms of pleasure, and that was by the light that imprinted those forms in matter. So I have 613 forms with which I'm ready to enjoy. And that is the creature. These forms that the matter received, existence from absence, are called forms in matter. Form that is without matter means the 613 lights that have created the will to receive before there was a will to receive, before they imprint themselves in matter. Therefore, we don't talk about them. Oh, so that is abstract form. Yes. That is not essence. That is abstract form. And essence means their source, which is higher than the light itself. The thought of creation. The creator, the emanator. That's the essence. So, if a person wants something, it is a result of those forms that the light imprinted in us. And we can never want something that didn't exist in reality, that we didn't receive by the light, from the light. So we can understand that we can learn only about our matter, we can only study our matter, and we don't know what is matter, that good. Who is I? We can say, I think, I want, because these are the things that I feel within me. But who am I? The matter in and of itself, without a form, it's just a raw desire, will. And if I delve inside of me, behind matter, I also don't know who am I. So the abstract form called I, or the essence called I, is not something I can know. All in all, what we can clearly know is the matter and the form that it receives. So, what we call light is actually the form dressed in matter. When I'm saying I receive the light, or I'm enjoying the light, I'm fulfilled by light, it means that I receive new forms in my will to receive, new forms of desire. I feel the Creator, I'm in adhesion with the Creator. It means that I feel such forms within me that are depicted as the Creator within me, as bestowal. Not more than that, because I can never know what truly fulfills me. I can only know how I react to it, how I respond to it. Like, I don't know what's water in and of themselves, outside of me. I know that if I'm looking at it, this is how it seems to me. If I drink it, it's how I react to something that enters me. All of our attainments are always in a matter, in a way of form. How our matter receives a form when it meets something. That's all. But that's enough for us to exist, to feel a desire and a fulfillment, and learn these forms, and be settled in our life and in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we have the same limitations as in this world. The vessel stays a vessel, and it can only reveal itself and the forms that it goes through when it receives them. That's it. No more. And that's enough. You can also ask, why not more? Why not more? Truth is that more belongs to a part that we reach, but not on our own, ever. I'm not sure if I'm making the noises or with my microphone or something. So we come to that part maybe later. Maybe I can't say, because we don't speak about things that we didn't attain yet and things that weren't dressed in the matter yet, in the desire. Yeah, continue with your question. What happened? What? You there? Maybe it's ignorance, but I have a question about the 613 desires. The 613 desires, they are uniform, right? I mean, each and every one of us has the same 613 desires. Right, everyone has the same 613 desires. Why? Because we... What happened to my voice now, to my sound? Maybe you just leave the mixer and that's it, and it'll work fine. We learn that man does all the problems, not the still objects. So... Anyway, anyone has 613 desires. By the general light called Torah, the light that was divided into 613 lights and created a will to receive that contains 613 desires. It is comprised of 613 desires. That will to receive was divided later to many souls, myriad souls. This is the general soul called Adam HaRishon, the first man, And it was divided into individual souls by an action called sin. It was divided, they say, into 600,000 souls, but it doesn't matter. We can say billions of souls. At the moment it's, for example, 7 billion souls, 7 billion individual souls. Each and every soul, each and every soul of the 7 billion, is also divided into 613 desires. Or they're not divided, but they are comprised of 613 desires. This is like a holographic picture. It's one big soul that each part of it has the same structure as the whole. So the question, we still don't hear what she says. Do we reveal those desires in the work, or they appear in a specific order, or there is a written way to correct them or something? You're talking about 613 desires? Right, the 613 desires. Do I know them already? I only need to identify them or what? No. Okay, now I'll sketch something else. No. There is no connection between what you know and the desires that are supposed to reveal. We made this sketch many times. We are below a barrier, machsum, in a state called this world, where we have bodily desires and human desires. That's it. And it doesn't belong to the 613 desires at all. In these desires we live, exist in the meantime. When we cross the barrier, we enter two systems called Klipa and Kdusha, impurity, shell, and wholeness. Holiness. So we have desires of shell, and it's 613 desires right away, because any vessel has to include 613 desires, and the vessel becomes greater and greater. It's like a drop of seed that becomes a little embryo, and then a bigger embryo, and then a baby that is born. It always has the same organs. They only have to be kind of inflated, so to speak. But in each drop of seed, there are all the parts that will form a whole human being. So how do we grow inside those earthly desires in this world which are called our heart? There is a point in the heart and it demands us to develop it and ascend, elevate. But this is just a point. How does it grow? It grows by those 613 desires that we receive from the system of shell after the barrier, from the system of Sitra Acha, the other side. Corresponding to that system, we receive the light that works on those desires that are for the benefit of oneself, and we correct them by that light that comes from the right side. We correct them in order to bestow. Is there a constant order, or what? According to the root of the soul, I elevate in a certain path until I reach the root of my soul. And my path is predetermined, and I have to receive an increase in my desires each time in a way that I already have a reshimo. Let's put it this way. I receive not 613 desires from the shell. I receive the light that increases my reshimo in a way that is for myself. And if I go to the right side, if I receive the force of the light, the force of bestowal, then I invert my reshimo that was strengthened by the klipa. I invert it now in order to bestow. This is what happens here. So it turns out that like the Creator created us here in the root of my soul, the way He created me as point of existence from absence, and then by the 613 lights, like we sketched before, He created the soul by 613 lights, and then the soul was divided. Then I am doing the same action, actually. From a point, I create that soul like He created. By that, I sympathize with Him, identify with Him, and then we come to equality and adhesion. Then I understand, I attain what He did. And therefore I become as wise and strong and holy as He is. And that is the purpose. In one of the latest lessons, you said that our mind that is used only in 1%, and 99% are not used. No, it can be 98. No, but it's, you don't need many cells for the wisdom of Kabbalah. Don't worry. So we actually use it, the same mind, until a minute before the end of correction. No. No, not a minute before the end of correction, but let's put it this way. A Kabbalist uses much more mental force and brain abilities than a normal person, because it is a must. If my desires are increased, and I'm not talking about the corporal desires, even though the corporal desires are increased as well, there are times when a person becomes immersed in this world again, and then he is elevated again, and it happens for a few times, forcefully, you know? They just put him in there, in that mess, this pit. So, for this world, we don't need more. But if we're talking about an increase of desires, so next to each desire, there has to be a mind in order to implement it, to realize it. Then we start to use more forces, more abilities. But the truth is, the rest of the abilities we have is not like we think, that it is in order to use the for the benefit of oneself. It is for the connection of all the souls. If I only need to satisfy my own desires, I don't need more than 2 or 3% of my mind. But if I'm going to connect with all the other souls and absorb them and perceive them, then I need more of that ability. So if we will analyze the brain of someone that is in a higher level, we will actually see that he uses more than more cells in his mind. So it means that there is an influence on matter. No, because the desire, the mind that he uses, we're talking about the spiritual mind and heart and desire. But also there is an influence in our corporal mind and desire. But these things are more spiritual. We can't, I think, that we are, of course we are unable to discover actions of a brain that serves spiritual desires. But if we will use this brain for the corporal system to connect human beings, then of course each and every one will use more. Because all in all, how do we have that great potential in our mind? This is because in the past we lived in one system, but when we fall from spirituality, we scattered, we dispersed, and then we don't need these calculations. But the calculations of bestowal are done in that 98% of this unused brain cells. More questions? Maybe you just have more questions, and this way we will just make sure that everyone are on the same page after all the lessons. I wanted to ask about what we talked about in previous lessons. When we come to the world of Atzilut, to the white collar, then we discover the full equivalence of form, which is the end of correction. The question is, what is the difference between the end of correction, what happens in the world of Atzilut, and what happens in the world of infinity? I understand, there's no difference. This is a common question, many people ask it, and it certainly seems to us that there is some inaccuracy or confusion. We say that the Creator that created us did it through four phases of direct light. And what happened is that this structure we received is called Malchut, or vessels. Before that, there was three previous phases. And this is called the world of infinity. And after the world of infinity, there was a decision to do the restriction, first restriction, and then to work with a screen. By the way, this is the same material we are studying these days on Fridays with the new group that comes to those lessons. And if someone studies in campus, he will learn all the details here. So after the world of infinity, the Masach divides the world of infinity in the following way. The screen. There are five levels of will to receive. Sholosh Aleph Bet Gimel Daled. Root 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the size, the extent of the desire. With a screen. Along with it, it divides itself to lights of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. This is how it divides itself. So, the world of infinity and the world of Adam Kadmon, this is called the world of Adam Kadmon, is the same thing. It's without a screen or with a screen. Either with a creature that works with a screen to equalize its form or without. On behalf of the Creator, it is the world of infinity. On behalf of the creature, it is divided into five parts according to its ability to equalize to the Creator. So actually, they are identical. The world of Adam Kadmon and the world of infinity. After that, there is something called Tabu, a very special boundary. The boundary of perfection, of wholeness. Then starts the world of Atzilut. In the world of Atzilut, there are five Partsufim.
Atik.
Atik.
Arichampin.
Abba
Ve'ima.
Abba Ve'ima. Yeshsut.
Yisrael Saba V'tvuna.
This is an abbreviation for Yisrael Saba V'tvuna. And Zon.
Gamkin im nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya ve'yichida.
And this is also with the lights of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. After the world of Atzilut, there are worlds of Briya, Yetzira, Asiya. And this world, which is actually not included in spirituality. And this is the place of the souls. The broken souls. To the extent that these souls want to correct themselves, they demand, they request an ascent to Atzilut. Then they rise. When they rise in their correction, they reach the Partsuf, Arichanpin of Atzilut. Atik and Arichanpin are like one Partsuf. And one who comes to the Partsuf called Arichanpin of Atzilut comes to the end of correction. That is the maximum thing we need to do, the maximum state we need to achieve. Partsuf Arichanpin. This is a big Partsuf of Chokhmah. And why isn't it the light of the world of Adam Kadmon or the world of Ensof, infinity? Because it is the same level as in Ensof, infinity. Why? Because we come to our root here. This is where all the fulfillment for Adam Rishon comes from. And if we reach that, we do the same work in the ascent to that state as we arrange the lights and the vessels in this net of the world Adam Kadmon. So I arrange each vessel with its light, each vessel with its light, and vice versa. This way, I make couplings between the light and the vessels. So it follows that when I come to the Partsuf Arichanpin of Atzilut, I'm full. I don't have anything else to do. Beyond that, all I need to complete is my connection with all the other souls that will also come to the same correction as I have. So here is the private end of correction. After that, when we gradually come to a state where more and more people feel an inner urge, despair, frustrations of this world, then there is actually hope that besides the Kabbalists that come to such a level, more and more people will come to that level, and then all of us will rise to our root. in the world of infinity. So that already depends on the general system where each and every one corrects himself. More questions? If so, the 125 degrees end in infinity? Right, the 125 degrees end in infinity. We just need to understand that if I reach the level of Arech Anpin of Atzilut, I reach infinity. I equalize to infinity because all the rest is already included within me and it is revealed along with the correction of all the souls. Privately, I become included in the world of infinity. And you stop incarnating in a corporal body? Right. That is the end of correction. After that, I don't belong to the system of correction yet, unless I need to come to this world in order to serve other souls and help them rise. Then it's a duty. It's not a self-deficit. It's a general one. There are some souls that have such a role, and they incarnate downwards happily and do this process. We have many examples like that in the past. For example, the same soul that comes from Adam HaRishon and went through Abraham, Moses, Rashbi, Baal HaSulam, Ari, it doesn't have to incarnate for itself, but it comes to our world in order to renew, upgrade the method of Kabbalah, the method of correction. Because each time we rise to a greater egoistic level, we need a different method of correction, a bit different. Just a second. And then we need to get it from somewhere. We can't just do actions in this world on our own and decide where to go. We see what happens in this world. Failures, for example, in the educational system lately here. If we want to determine something that is supposed to be determined by nature, then we come to failures. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's unacceptable. No one starts the path from his mind, from down upwards. And if he is not in those levels, how can he bring a method of correction? Therefore, there are special souls, especially this one that I talked about, and it descends each time, last time it descended through Baal HaSulam, and the way I understand it, the way I heard about it, there is no need that this soul will come again to this world, because the method of correction that we received from Baal HaSulam is the final method of correction. We only need to implement it. And there were more souls in history of Kabbalah that came to this world to do a partial role. There are some souls. They say that our world cannot exist without 36 righteous. 36 it's not a number. It's an essential, a qualitative number, meaning this world cannot exist if we don't bring it a certain sum, a certain amount of spiritual force that sustains it. Otherwise, our own substance cannot exist, because it's not matter, it's a replica of the light, and if the light would not fill it, if all the electrons would not connect, if they wouldn't have any force that repels, rejects, or attracts, and energy that moves them, everything would disappear. This is what we discover today in quantum physics, that more and more, the more we advance to the boundary between this world and the concealed world, we see that things as if disappear. Therefore, in order to sustain matter, comes a spiritual energy we call light, and it revives the matter. This energy is the desire to bestow that enters the will to receive and sustains the will to receive. The same thing in this world. Something exists if it is sustained through its structure, like crystals, like molecules. In molecules, it's much more developed, and living molecules and so on. For this, you need a lot of energy that comes from outside. Today, they reveal that something like 99% of the matter of universe cannot be truly deciphered. They call it something like black matter or something like that, but it's an energy that sustains all of our matter. That is why in our world, how does matter exist? How does it receive that energy from the light? There are people in this world which are also in the spiritual world with their souls, and they are in here as well. So they do this connection between the spiritual world and the corporal world, and this term is called 36 righteous, that thanks to them the world exists. They transfer past the spiritual energy through themselves to the corporal level. The man is the connector between the two worlds. Therefore, they give this energy, this spiritual light, only for the regular existence of this world. It is called the existence of reality. Now, whether we use it, this energy, right or not, this is what gives the form of this world, either a pleasant form or, unfortunately, a bad one. This is how it works. Yes. Before we come to Ein Sof, infinity, in the way there, in one of the steps, how can I have an indication that I'm really experiencing something and I'm not in some kind of a delusion? If a person studies the wisdom of Kabbalah according to the authentic sources, which are the book of Zohar, the books of the Holy Ari, and the books of Baal HaSulam. And that's it. That's it. I would even say only the books of Baal HaSulam. Even though some people won't agree with me today, but slowly they will, and there's no choice. Because there are many people who are still studying the prior study to Baal HaSulam. For example, I studied from Baal HaSulam's older son, and I received the wisdom directly from him. But some people learned according to the Gra, the Ramchal, the Ari himself, and this is impossible to understand how to implement it in these days, in our time, and there are still prior methods to Baal HaSulam, and some people study it. So I'm not saying that these methods are incorrect, God forbid. I'm just saying that they are not intended to correct the world, to correct our souls. Because Baal HaSulam was the last Kabbalist that upgraded, that developed the method of correction to match it to our generation, to our soul. So first of all, study from these sources, the books of Baal HaSulam, well, and Rabash. This is his older son, that his firstborn son, that continued teaching it. Second thing is study it with a group and with a qualified teacher, not with all kinds of people who say that they study on their own and or with people that you don't know what are their history is. If the person studies with a right teacher, with the authentic sources only, then he will have no hallucinations or thoughts that he is already in Ein Sof and he flies in the air somewhere. Yes, I'm not kidding. Many people come to me and they say, I'm already in the end of correction and all kinds of imaginations like that. A person cleans himself from these things if he enters the right study. He becomes very realistic, very practical. He treats his life very simply as they are. He refers to corporal education and spiritual education in a very pragmatic way. Like Bala Sulam writes, the wisdom of Kabbalah as a modern science. He writes about the difference between Kabbalah and philosophy, that he can't stand, he couldn't stand philosophy. He respects the materialistic approach. It means the perception of experience. Our problem is that we don't know what is a science, because the wisdom of Kabbalah is actually a science. It's only a science about the spiritual world, not about this world. It's the spiritual physics. Physicians don't have imaginations. They have all kinds of theories and then they check it. For example, this Stephen Hawking, the one that replaces Newton in the cathedra of physics, he said after 30 years of researching the universe, I was wrong. I had a mistake. You know him. He sits in a wheelchair for a lot of time and he is pretty detached from the world besides his ability to connect. And after 30 years, he says, I was wrong. That's a great man. Why isn't it a shame? Because he researched reality and discovered many laws on the way, but the theory itself was a mistake. The estimation was a mistake. So what? This is how wisdom creates itself. And wisdom means what we feel, experience, and research in our reality. That's it. And the same thing with the wisdom of Kabbalah. It is written that whatever we don't attain, we don't name it. We are not allowed to speak about anything that we don't clearly attain. The same way I hold this glass right now. I can't talk about spirituality if I don't attain it. I only talk about what I attain. That's it. The matter, the glass, and the thing that fulfills matter. In this case, water. So now, for example, the material that we study right now, the preface to the Book of Zohar, explains our limitations in our research in order not to be mistaken and not to deviate into philosophy. So we don't have students that develop all kinds of imaginations. I see it in my students that they are very realistic. Well, you know, like professions in this world, the same way an engineer or something similar, this is how they treat the spiritual world. But we're talking about things that are not perceived through five senses. No, that is incorrect. We are talking about something that is perceived in a sense, in the sixth sense. We develop that sense and then we know what is perceived there. How do we know that it comes from the sixth sense? There's no mistake here, because you feel it or you don't feel it. That's it. A person starts to be connected to the light that affects him, that lowers him or elevates him. And by these ups and downs, these fluctuations, he starts to understand exactly, he starts to sense his true sensation. He starts to develop mind and his emotion. In short, what happens is that one starts to sense his soul, how he lives in it, how he exists in it, and what he receives in it. I don't imagine what I feel in my stomach, right? Whatever I feel in my belly is my experience, right? I taste it, I research it, I'm connected to it. In the same way that I feel things in my hands right now and touching things, I feel spirituality. But it comes in the study in forms of letters and colors, and no, it's not letters and colors like you're referring to. It's not our kind of letters or colors and so on. These are definitions of spirituality. But since there is no language, I can't even tell a Kabbalist this and that happened to me, is it true or not? No. When you will receive the spiritual form and you will talk to me about it, you will be able to speak about it and I'll be able to understand it. They told me that it is not allowed to tell you things. No, to the teacher it is allowed. Can you show the previous sketch again? I want to know if the four phases of direct light exist in every world. No, the four phases of direct light exist only before the world of infinity. The four phases of direct light are four discernments that the light imprints in the desire that was created existence from absence in order to bring self-feeling, self-sensation to it. Light is the preliminary thing. It is the first thing that exists. That light creates a point of desire as existence from absence. That is the second thing. Now it works on that desire. The light itself, with this raw desire, that is not even a desire yet, it is existence from absence, a point, a dot. That is all called ketel, a thought. Or you can call it the tip of the yod. Or you can call it root phase, sholish. That creates the first phase, prina aleph. That is already a vessel. That is, there is already someone who feels that he exists. That is the first phase. Why is it called the first phase? Because before that, there was no sensation of the desire, even, that it exists. So the first phase is called Chokhmah. This phase, called Chokhmah, feels that someone fulfills it in the end. It feels the root phase, someone that gives to it, and is higher than it, and since it is a will to receive, and it sees that there is some level that is higher to it, then it wants to be the same. So it turns itself to a similar phase, called Bina, the second phase called Bina. So the first phase, Chokhmah, is reception, and the second discernment, the second phase, Bina, is bestowal, as the root. Then, when Bchina Bet, the second phase, wants to bestow and be like the root, it doesn't have a way of expressing itself. It only wants to do it. It only has the intention to do it. But there's no action yet. So, what can it do? It reaches a decision to receive, as in the first phase, but with an intention of bestowal. That will make me able to give back to the giver. So that is already called the third phase. It is called also Zeranpin or Tiferet, which is reception in order to bestow. After that, after this third phase, feels itself as the root. It feels that it's similar to the root. Then it starts seeing how it actually wants to enjoy that status, the status of the root, then it has a really big will to receive, to enjoy both the pleasure itself, the light that comes from the root, and its status, the Creator Himself that gives her, that gives to it. Therefore, this fourth phase is called the complete reception for itself. Then, when it receives, in the end of that reception, it starts feeling shame, busha. It feels opposite to the root. Again, after any action, there is a comparison, it makes a comparison to the root, and then it feels shame, and the shame brings it to the first restriction, then to a screen, and eventually to the end of correction. So, these four phases before the restriction, before everything, were only in order to create the vessel, so that vessel will have the will to receive, the will to bestow, the feeling of shame, everything, all the discernments. This is only in order to give that desire the replicas of the light, that the light will enter the desire and imprint all kinds of forms within it, to receive in order to receive in order to bestow, and so on. And then this substance, this matter, is ready for action. And that fourth phase is called the world of infinity. More, please? Yep. I wanted to ask, how can a person who studies Kabbalah and understand that this is the right thing for him, how can he convey that to his relatives, or because usually they don't really understand him, or they criticize him, and so on. First of all, we can see that you're a very big egoist. You look like a control freak, because whatever you think is good, you want to give to them, you know, like a coercive mother. Why don't you eat what I prepare for you, what I make you? You gotta eat it, and you gotta tell me thank you. And if not, I'll force you to. No, but I can't do dissemination. No, God forbid. If we would be doing dissemination this way, you know, we go to the streets. The maximum thing we say is, sir, do you want a paper? That's it. If they don't want it, we don't say any word more than that. I gave my students the exact instructions. If a person wants to, you give it to him. You don't put it in his hands. Only if he wants to and he gives you his hand to take it. That's it. It is forbidden. There is no coercion in spirituality. You can never coerce anyone in any way. If you have small children, you can read this material with them like you read with them any other material. But of course, it is only if the child agrees to receive that from you. If he doesn't agree, if he doesn't want it, if he is already in such an age or such a state that he doesn't agree, then of course not. Not by force. God forbid. I never forced my children to study. With my girls, I didn't study at all. They only heard about it here and there. I arrived in Bnei Brak City. My older daughter was 6 years old or 5 years old, and the little one was just born. She was 2 months old or 3 months, something like that. Then I moved to Bnei Brak City, and they grew up in a religious society, And they went to all kinds of events that we had with Rabash, and they were immersed in that. They didn't want to move away from that. I didn't study with them at all, but they didn't want to get away from it. Older daughter married one of my students. She didn't want someone from outside, from someone who doesn't study. Even though she has her own in profession and everything, she's becoming a doctor. And the smaller daughter also wants someone that studies Kabbalah. And this is without any pressure, and I never pressured my son as well, vice versa. And it is also uncommon. It's not something we do with our families or with children. If people don't want it, that's it. If your relatives don't want it, leave them alone. They still have to become ripened. Bala Sulam explains it, I don't remember where, that it is like an unripened fruit. Like we are careful, being careful to eat an unripened fruit, the same thing with the soul. If it is not ready for correction, you cannot forcefully start to correct it. There is a verse that says, educate a boy according to his way, to his path, only according to his desire. That's it. Maybe he wants to listen from you, to listen to you, and once or twice, and that's it. If he doesn't want anymore, don't give it to him. That's it. Don't touch him. Maybe after even one or two life cycles, he will come to this maturity. But if you want him to mature faster, then give them a right environment, like a fruit that grows on a tree. Everything it needs, more moisture, salt, water, whatever. So he will be around it somehow. So he will know that you are studying, that you are happy about it, that it gives you happiness. He can listen even to tapes or something like that, and this is enough. This is I'm just describing the example that happened with what happened with my daughters. That is enough. Children absorb this naturally, and this energy that surrounds them operates. And that's it. They won't run away. They will be close to it. They will become ripened, and when they will want it, they will get into it themselves. That's it. And don't pressure them. I don't pressure anyone until that day, until this day. I have students that are studying for 5 years or even more, and then they disappear without even saying goodbye. And if they say goodbye, that's it. I just tell them goodbye, and that's it. As if they just go and they will come back in a few minutes. Don't hold anyone close to you forcefully, close to this. It's forbidden. We only give the soul what it needs to its development right now. And that is still the free choice of a person. I have a question that is connected to this. It is a bit sad. Yesterday, no, you have to stand up because we can't see you, and I want everyone to see you. Yesterday, what? Yesterday, I was in a family that just lost one of its kin, one of its family members. I'm asking because what are we supposed to do in these states? She spoke enthusiastically about the meaning of life, about the soul, about the desire. I was very impressed by what she said. We started a conversation, and in the end I told her, do you want to read something about Kabbalah? Do you want me to go and bring you a book? So I brought her the open book. It is the name of the book that we have. So I'm asking if I didn't take advantage of her sensitive situation, and then I gave her something and it wasn't right. No, if the person is ready to receive it, if he feels close to what we're talking about, then you can give him. That's it. The same way we give a paper to someone. You want to try it? Yes. Yes, no, no. That's it. But not like I felt with the previous women that worries about her relatives and want them, all of her families, to get up in the morning and watch the lessons and do homework and ask each other if they understood right everything and so on. So it is the influence of the environment. Yeah, but I don't think this is good anyway. It has to be in a nice, pleasant way. Not otherwise. And it stems from the structure of the soul. I'm not talking about doing something pleasant or not. I'm talking about laws of nature. How can I give a person something that his desire isn't built for yet? Maybe in 10 minutes he'll want it, but now he doesn't. So he will not accept it correctly. He will not taste it as a good thing. In 10 minutes his desire will be exactly fit to what I'm giving to him, and then he will be happy about it and he will accept it. But now I'm forbidden to give it to him because he will reject it, and in 10 minutes he will not want it as well. I have another question. Just a second. Maybe it is. Look, I heard from my book. From my, there aren't real books, many books about Kabbalah, and I heard from my teacher, and according to the preface of Chaim Vital, the student of the Ari, soon we are publishing this book. It is a very strong preface to the book of the Tree of Life. So he writes there, I am sitting and waiting for the corrections in the world. My teacher passed away many years ago and I'm old now. He was 70 or 80 when he wrote that, and I finished my role and I have no one to give this method to give this wisdom to, and the world doesn't move. We expected for the revelation of the Holy Ari that will promote the world, advance the world, and we see the world that moves further. And instead of this, the world enters a more dark period. So Kabbalists were pretty, let's say, despaired from people in their lives, because people didn't have the right desire, on the one hand. On the other hand, what can you do? Look at Baal HaSulam. How much did he try to do and advertise? And we see, according to what he writes in his articles and books, how disappointed he was. So there's nothing to do about it, because this is the laws of the world and we have to follow them. I would just say this: if, God forbid, we feel that our children are really deteriorating, or they can be in a seriously dangerous state, like drug abuse, or fall into a very bad society. So maybe in a bit more, but still without pressure, with some kind of reward and punishment, you know, like, I will give you this, I will give you that. Maybe a bit you can add, but this is because we are in a really new era now, and the crisis in education and in human society affects the new generation very much. He talked before about people who convey the lights from up downwards. Are those the people who have the greatest shame? Shame? Yeah. Are those the people who need greater corrections because they see the gap between this world and they see the oppositeness? Or no? Okay, I'll tell you. No, you can you can maybe make 1,000 more estimations. I'll tell you, only one thing operates in them that makes them be in a role here and do a role here and be in this world. The love of men, that's it. That's the only reason. That is something you didn't think about. You want to ask, what are you crying about? She always cries. She looks at me, she sits in front, and she cries. And I'm thinking, what am I? Am I making people sad, or what happens here? Yes. This is a simple question, but yeah, I understand. Yes, yes, ask. How? For instance, let's say we do come to the understanding that we need to love others. How such a thing happens to you? It's sick. Loving the others? What are you talking about? We don't have this feeling in nature. Yes, but a feeling that we need to leave egoism. Okay, so you want to live egoism. I want to live egoism because it disturbs me. For example, it's like I'm fat or something like that, and I gotta stop it. So how can I stop this egoistic desire to enjoy the pleasure, to enjoy the food? So it doesn't mean that I exit to the love of men. I just choose a better state, and then I'm ready to suppress my desire in order to reach a better state. It's like I'm getting up in the morning to go to work. It's because I have no choice and I gotta come to a better state than what I have now, even though it makes me suffer. Let's put it this way. If we feel that people around me don't love me, I understand them. And what? And then I understand that it is because I don't feel love towards them. This is why I perceive it this way, right? That is nice. That is right. So I understand that if I would love them, I would see everything differently, and I can't do it. Okay, I can recommend something to you. Maybe you're walking around in a kind of a snobbish way or something. Maybe people think that they want to take that you want to take their spot or something like that. People won't not like you for no reason. You know, a person who is in some environment has to relate nicely to people, except for me. I always have a different kind of relationship with my students, but there's a different reason to it. This is in order that they will not see me as something exalted. They have to see me as something simple and even less. But what's your problem? If you'll behave nicely to others, they will behave nicely to you as well. But it doesn't belong to the correction of the soul. It's just, go to a psychologist. He will offer you what to do. There are all kinds of methods of how to behave nicely in life and get along in life, but it doesn't belong to... Okay, so what's your question? I don't want this. I want to feel that I love people. You can't. You can't. To begin with, you're unable to love people. And why do you think you want to love people? You want to love them now because you want to find... You want to be loved by them. This is why you want to love them. I want to feel good. Right? You're dependent on them. That's it. So that's a psychological problem. That's a problem of communication in human society. Kabbalah doesn't take care of it, doesn't treat it. You need to turn to... No, but we are here to learn how to love. No. We learn how to love, but it's not love between men and women, or love between people, or parents and children. We are learning how to love the others. The other means something that is outside of my will to receive, and it doesn't give me anything in exchange. If I have any kind of profit from it, it isn't called others. It is some kind of a relative, some kind of a thing that is for myself. I have some kind of an exchange, some kind of a reward. Kabbalah doesn't take care of it, doesn't treat it. So how can I love without profit? Why for? What for? What for? Yes, answer, come on. Because that's the purpose of creation. So what? What do you care about it? No, these are good questions. Yeah, okay, so the purpose of creation, then what? Because why should I exist unless to come to the purpose of creation? You're saying, okay, at least I'll get something out of this life instead of just living as an animal or something, right? Yes, but this is already okay. What do we do with this state? Meaning, I'm not working on being loved by the others in order to have nice relationship with them and benefit some nice atmosphere. I'm going to check if I am able to come to the real love of men, love of others. Right? What can I do? Study. First of all, this study will bring you the understanding that you don't want it and you are incapable of doing it. You want anything besides that. This is already the point of truth, the really beginning of this thread, that I don't want it. Now, how do I still continue and come to the end where I love, really love the others, and I forget about myself on the way completely? That happens by taking part in the group. So, study and participating in the group. So how do I nullify myself with respect to the group? A woman is unable to do it. And a woman shouldn't do it and can't do it. It's not her role. Taking part in the group means helping, disseminating all the preparations that a woman usually do. It helps all of the group. You see how women are helping us in the center, right? They come and they work in texts and they help with editing movies and they... You're here in the center. You see how women are working. By help, that is first thing. And second thing, which is a very great thing, women, with their desire, are pushing men to advance. That is the most important thing. If women are preparing themselves in order to push men, not one man, but the big man's group, and want them to advance, and they give the group their great desire, then they are able to advance. Without being pressured by the women, actually, men do not advance. This is how Adam HaRishon was broken. When it was divided into two parts, men and women, we have to now regroup those pieces and into a form of Adam. Adam. So, in order to collect these pieces, to put them together, each one has to fill his role properly. And this is how the desire of the women works, and the implementation of the man is then working. This is how it happens in spiritual Potsufim. Malchut raises its deficit, its desire to Zeranpin. Zeranpin raises it to Arechanpin, and then it brings the light back to Malchut. This is how it works, and it follows that the feminine part, the women part, is actually the part that the fundamental evoking force. And this is why it happens in this world, that women procreate the next generation. And in spirituality, the woman brings the deficit, brings the desire, and this builds the next step in spirituality. So there is a very big role for the women part here. It's not by chance that it's more than half of humanity, and the men have to feel it, have to sense it. I hope that in 2 weeks, I think, something like that, I will start teaching about it through the internet. Lessons for women. And I already have a pack of hundreds of questions, I think. A lot of questions. They should be classified and prepared. And here we see also that many women are attending the lectures because they have a more prominent desire than men. And I very much hope that we will be able to scrutinize this process, this work of completion, the women part, the man part, and the completion, when they both do the action together and then they procreate the next state. There can't be a child without a mother and a father, right? So in order to procreate the next spiritual state, we have to take part together, and only by joining hands we advance. So in this world, this is something that has to start to be realized and implemented. In the past, there was no urgency to do that. Kabbalists advanced on their own. They were unique individuals. But today, when it is already for the masses, we are in such a generation that starts to desire it, that starts to desire the spiritual progress, then we have to take care of it. Before, I didn't feel any pressure to take care of it. But lately, especially after I visited Canada and Mexico and the United States, I felt that this is a must to start working on the connection between women and men as two parts that complement each other. They don't have to be physically connected, not even to work together physically. No, they can even work together without seeing each other in order not to confuse spirituality with corporeality, so it wouldn't create disturbances. And this way they can convey their desire, the spiritual desire that a woman has, to the male part that will implement the action of drawing the light for that desire. This is how it works. And soon, something like 60 days from now, we have a congress. And there we will talk about it as well. Because half of our students, something like that, are women, and they come from all over the world to the Congress. It is even more prominent in countries like Chile, like Mexico. For example, in Mexico, there are 5 times women more than men. In Chile, it's 7 times more. For every man, you have 7 women. And it is very prominent there, not just because of the fact that there are many women that are that don't have men or something like that, but the desire, the spiritual desire is felt. And the little man that we have in that group there are really advancing. From all of South America, 2 men from Chile came to the American Congress. That was specifically for American people, but they wanted to come. So I think, especially after being there in Chile, and I felt that it comes from women. Yes. If, as a woman, I am focused on my next reshimo, I'm going towards the goal, so I actually don't care about the others. They don't disturb me, because I only go further in order to advance. Yeah, okay. You'll advance, and then you'll pull the rope, and then you'll see that you have nothing from that until you will understand that your work is probably incorrect. And then, from all those frustrations, from all those disappointments, you will start to understand that you will start to see. In the end of these disappointments, you will find the answer for the right action, but not before that. So, go on. Move on, advance. I'm saying it seriously, there's no choice. Only to hasten this development, but there is no choice. We have to go through all kinds of actions. We can only hasten them. We can do them. We can do 100 actions in a minute, or we can do one action in 10 years. That's the difference. But we have to do everything, because in the end of every action, there is already a decision for the next action. And in the end of all those actions that are seemingly empty, we finally come to a state where we start to understand that only through the unity in that system of Adam HaRishon, the system of all the souls, there we will find the answers, fulfillment, and everything we need, everything we want. What we actually need is the construction of that system, and not to yearn for something abstract. This is not the right direction yet. Yes. The Pentateuch, the Bible, speaks a lot about angels. What is actually an angel? Force. What? The force of gravity, for example. Gravity, right? This thing now falls to the ground. Why does it fall? You can say that there is an angel in the core of Earth. No, you're laughing, but this is how scientists in the past thought. There is such a force called an angel in Earth's core. And it is like pulling its hands, stretching its hands to take everything to the ground. Because everything comes from the ground. That's it. This is something you can call an angel. Or when something is now elevated, it has, you can say that it has a desire to come back to its previous state. And this is the force that brings it back downwards. The fact is, it doesn't matter how do you call it. You can say that a horse that helps a man is also called an angel. My body, with respect to my soul, is also called an angel, if it helps the soul. An angel means any force with no personality, with no free choice, that works, that operates in the world. So any force that operates in the world can be called an angel. Understand? So, what about the angel of death? It's an angel? Yes. The angel of death means the last pleasure, the force that extracts the last pleasure in the body. And this is like what we said before, that matter cannot be sustained if there is no energy left. And then it takes, this force takes the last bit of energy from the body, and then it dies. It is a messenger. Of course it is a messenger. Yeah, you can put it this way. We have a spiritual gene within us that contains all those reshimot, impressions, registrations, and it works within a person and makes him change and live and die or change from state to state. And this is what happens to us. Everything is according to that reshimot. Within us, there is a spiritual reshimot, registrations, and this is what determines our state. Because we went from up downwards, from the world of infinity to our world, and by our spiritual work, we have to rise from down upwards, and it's the same path. The same way we went down, we have to go up. So in each and every point, in each and every step that we went through, we had a registration, an impression from it. And now it is all within me, all those states, and now I'm unfolding that reshimo and rising this way, climbing up this ladder, and I can't go in any other way. My only free choice is to hasten the development. That's it, to make it faster. But if I make it faster, I feel it as something pleasant, and I happily come to the goal. So then the steps in between look good to me. You know, it's like a child that doesn't want to study, so he is beaten, or he received blows, and then he wants to study. But one who studies with his free will, then he advances nicely, and he enjoys the process, and he saves time and suffering. Same thing with us. For the meantime, we are bad boys. Let's hope that we will improve. So, everyone have a nice Shabbat. And as usual, we have lessons in Chanukah holiday, because it is before the lesson. So, campus, the course, is especially for people who want to study the detailed wisdom of Kabbalah. You can still attend these lessons, but these lessons are more general, and there you can learn the method. So, thank you all, and happy Shabbat.